bid you welcome. Again, express appreciation for your being here. Again, we say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together. I had a request that we sing another song, but I'll leave it in it. The Old Rugged Cross. The Old. 313. Hymn number 313. Sermon's getting shorter all the time. We start something like this, you're always request. Can we sing a song before you preach? Shorten that sermon time.
This is not called Stump a Song.
All right, the Old Rugged Cross. Right. The phrase, then he'll call me someday to my home far away. I like that. I don't think of my home as 361 Nova Place in Chula Vista. Well, I do. But he'll call me someday to my home far away. There's an outline in the bulletin this morning. I call your attention. I can't see the one in the back. But I know you'll call my attention. So there is an outline in the bulletin if you'd like to follow along. Along with the theme of the song that we sang this morning. I want you to consider the Son of God. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, it says, consider him that endured such contradiction or the opposition of sinners against himself. Lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. There's something about the consideration of Jesus that will keep us steadfast. The Hebrew writer in that text says, consider him. I just want to stop and consider. And what does that put by definition? The word consider. Careful thought. I'm going to give Jesus consideration. I want to deliberate. I want to take into account. I want to give it some thoughtful attention. Ponder. Contemplate. I'm giving this word consider some consideration. I want to scrutinize Jesus. Examine. I want to think about him. I want to be mindful of him. The text doesn't say, just says consider him. But one thought he gives is, he endured opposition. Endured. If I don't give Jesus that consideration that he endured and overcame the troubles and the trials and the opposition, I might be overwhelmed in my own troubles and trials. I want to consider Jesus this morning. I'm going to list, 9 things. Hurriedly. In our lesson this morning. First of all, consider Jesus' purpose in coming into the world. The angels announced to the shepherds in Luke 2, verse 11, for to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ Jesus the Lord. Jesus. I consider his purpose in coming into the world to be a Savior. The angels announced to Joseph, she shall bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Salvation? Savior? During his ministry, Jesus said in Luke 19, verse 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. So when I give Jesus consideration, I start, as Dennis said in his song, let's start at the beginning. Joy to the world. Savior has come. That's right. Let me chew on that for a while. Second, consider his knowledge and his understanding of what he would endure. Boy, Jesus, did you know about the future suffering? didn't know there would be a crucifixion ahead. He did. It wasn't a surprise. He knew that at the end of his earthly road, there's going to be a cross. And he kept going. If someone told me, Brian, in 2 years ahead, you're going to hurt. Wait a minute, let me take a different path. Maybe I can change something. But Jesus said in Matthew 20, verse 17, the Bible says Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. All right? Not Jerusalem, Jesus. He took the 12. And he said to them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed. They shall condemn him to death. They shall deliver him. And to the Gentiles they will mock him, scourge him, and crucify him. But the third day he'll rise again. Jesus, disciples, come over here. Let me tell you something. We're going to Jerusalem. And when we get there, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed, delivered to the scribes and Pharisees. And they're going to condemn him to death. They'll deliver me, say, to the Gentiles. I'll be mocked and scourged and crucified. Let's go. Will I give consideration to Jesus? Consider, he had full understanding of what was going to take place. He didn't falter in that mission. Number three, consider Jesus willingly accepted that cross. You know what's going to happen, Jesus, and you're going to proceed. It wasn't a spur of the moment bravery. He had time to think about it. It wasn't a reluctant action. He wasn't forced. Marches to that end. In Matthew 20, verse 28, he said again, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many or for all. Wow. You're going to accept it? In John 10, verse 17, Jesus said, therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. Wow. Consider that. Number four. There's other verses, but I'll just kind of highlight a few as we go through the notes. Number four, consider Jesus' silence before his accusers. Wow. Now that was prophesied. Back in Isaiah, hundreds of years before Jesus was born, Isaiah said there's going to be a Messiah coming. And Isaiah said in Isaiah 53, verse 7, he'll be oppressed and afflicted, yet he will not open his mouth. He'll be brought as a lamb before the slaughter. And as a sheep before his shearer is dumb, so he will not open his mouth. And it happened. During Jesus' trial, the high priest in Matthew 26 said, answer you nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? And the next phrase is, Jesus held his peace. Speak up, Jesus. Defend yourself. Tell them what they're saying is not true. No. So then Jesus, after he appeared before the high priest in this trial sequence, he goes before Herod. But in Luke 23, verse 9, says that he answers him nothing. Then he appears before Pilate. In Matthew 27, 14, he answered him to never a word. And insomuch the governor marveled greatly. I marveled greatly too. They're not going to say anything. So the question is, why the silence? Why? The Bible answers. was prophesied that Jesus would be condemned before he was tried. And in Acts chapter 8, verse 33, Philip, preaching, recalls Isaiah's prophecy when he's teaching the Ethiopian. And in Acts 8, verse 33, he refers to that Isaiah's prophecy again, that in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. So Jesus knew there's going to be a trial, but my judgment will be taken away. So he doesn't answer anything. It was an unfair, he knew it was an unfair trial. It was a mock trial. And Jesus is perhaps thinking any discussion, any debate, any argument is not going to do any good. In today's language, we would call it a kangaroo court. No matter what you say, it's not going to work. Their minds were so shut by pride and prejudice, anything Jesus said would not make any difference. So he doesn't say a thing. Wow. Number five. Consider Jesus' agony on the cross. And you know, a horribleness of crucifixion. We've read about it in the Bible. We know what Jesus went through. We've heard about the nails in his hands and his feet, fixing him to the cross. And we know what that is. And it hurts. Jesus goes through that. And the text said in our introduction, consider him who endured. God, Jesus gave everything he had for you and for me. He gave his head to a crown of thorns. He gave his cheeks to be slapped. He gave his face to dirty human spittle. He gave his shoulders to a robe of mockery. He gave his back to a scourge. He gave his side to be pierced with a Roman spear. He gave his hands and his feet to the Roman nails. He gave his garment to the soldiers at the foot of the cross. He gave his mother to the beloved Apostle John who was nearby. He gave his spirit back to God. He gave his life for you and for me. That's worthy of consideration. Consider his agony on the cross. Number six, consider his concern for others. It's remarkable. Jesus, you're going through all this and you're going to think about someone else. I would be thinking of my pain. But that was the business of the cross. It was bloody business that Jesus is giving his life for someone else. He considers his mother in John 19, verse 27. But John, behold your mother, and mom, behold your son. He considers his persecutors in the midst of a persecution. Father, forgive them. I'm saying something else. Get them, God. Forgive them. Consider the world of people. In Romans 5, verse 8, Paul writes, God commends his own love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For me, put my name in there. Christ died for Brian. Put your name in there. Consider Jesus' concern for us. Consider his resurrection, number 7. In Matthew 28, after the crucifixion and the burial, then the angel or the women come to the gravesite. And there's an angel there, and they answer the women. The angel says, fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He's not here. Not here. He's risen. Wow. Not here. But Pilate made sure that the body couldn't be resurrected or gone from the tomb. He sealed it with a big stone. Put a guard there. Not here. angel rolled the stone away. Not so Jesus could get out, but so that the people could see him. It's empty. See. Number 8, consider Jesus' ascension to the Father's right hand. I have more to say, but you have the notes. I'll put them in your hands. Number 8, consider Jesus' ascension to the Father's right hand. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20, there's several verses. But Paul writes about God's power. And he describes it in this illustration. God's power, which he wrought or did in Christ Jesus, when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, put all things under his feet, gave him to be head over all things to the church. The fullness of him is all in all. Wow. Yes. So he ascended to the Father's right hand. And he has the authority. Number 9. Consider his coming again. He's coming again. Why this time? Came the first time for salvation for me. For a world of people. Why are you coming again? In Acts 1 verse 9, it says when at the ascension, the disciples, the people are gathered there in Bethany. When he had spoken these things, the Bible said he was taken up. A cloud received him out of their sight. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel and said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus," who was the one that went up 40 days after the crucifixion, "this same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven." God, he's coming back. Well, Paul said again when he's preaching to the people in Athens in Acts 17 verse 30, "says the time of ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." Because, why would I want to repent? Why would I want to turn my life toward God? Because, Paul said, he's appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he's ordained, whereof he's given assurance to all of us in that he raised him from the dead. Oh. No doubt Jesus was resurrected, seen by all the witnesses. There's no doubt he's coming again. As a judge. Not as a savior anymore. As a judge. Guilty as charged. Uh-oh. Last thing, I'm just putting your notes. But consider Jesus' invitation. Oh, thank you. Consider Jesus' invitation. In Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." All the burden of sin, guilt, feel bad. I don't measure up. Can't do everything right. I need a Savior. Is it coming to me? He didn't leave anybody out. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." I believe that. Ye shall find rest. So that's the invitation we extend at the close of every lesson. An invitation is a heavenly invitation to come to Jesus. What do you want me to do? Jesus said in his great commission, right before he ascended back to heaven, told his apostles in Mark chapter 15, Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, "Go to all the world. Preach the gospel," so there's good news. That's what that word means. "Preach good news to all creation," to everybody. Don't leave anybody out. "Preach that to everyone. And then he that believes and is baptized shall be saved." That's why you came, wasn't it? To be a Savior. That's point number one. So now here is invitation. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. We're going to stand. Let's go ahead and stand right now.